I feel bad for y'all who live on Instagram because it ain't working right now. I know some people on Suicide Watch. Just calm down. It'll be back and running soon.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me as always on Twitter at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking back at Wednesday's six games, previewing Thursday's six games. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. We will start where we always do on these shows, of course, with
Monstrous Line of the Night.
And today's Monstrous Line of the Night goes to Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder in a big win against the Nets. 36 minutes for Russ, a triple-double, 31, 12, and 11, four triples and three steals, and shot 52% from the field. Of course, he was just 60% from the line, and that continues to be one of the most baffling situations in the NBA. A 65% free throw shooter who was an 82 to 84% guy for pretty much all of his career until the last 2 years. You're punting free throws almost definitely if you've got Russ. Field goal percentage, you're not in a must punt scenario. 43% over the course of the season, but over the last month, he's at 48%. Over the last 26 games, he's at 44%. You can work around that and you can deal with that. Of course, the counting stats are fantastic. The steals have really dropped off. That was sky high to begin the season. But over those last 26 games, he's down at 1.3 triples. And he has actually, to counter that, started shooting the three ball better at 34% over those last couple of months, as opposed to where he was to begin the season. He's the 16th ranked player this season, but you know, varying with your punts, the rank will change. But I think he's going to be in that. I don't think he's going to be a first round pick next year. I'll say that in a category league. In a points league, he probably still is there, but not in a category league.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night is Alex Len of the Atlanta Hawks. He moved to the bench with the Undertaker Dwayne Dedman returning, but played well off the bench. 23 minutes for Len, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists with 2 threes and 2 blocks, and hit 62% of his shots. He's putting up strong-ish numbers, but even when you look at the last 2 weeks where he's played 28 minutes a night, he still is just the 110th ranked player. But of course, that's because he's shooting only 56% from the free throw line. If you're in a punt free throw type of mold, then it's not as big of an impact with Len. But with Dedman back, Len's minutes are going to drop off. He still will play some power forward, or however you want to phrase the Dedman-Len combination, power forward center, however it is, with both Amari Spellman and Alex Poitras out with ankle problems. He's more of a 14-team league sort of a guy who can be streamed in. Like today was a perfect Alex Len stream situation for the Hawks, but more of a 14-team must-roster type of a guy rather than a guy that we hold under all circumstances in 12-team formats. The deep leaguer of the night is CJ Miles of the Memphis Grizzlies, who went absolutely bananas here. 33 minutes in the blowout loss for the Grizzlies, 33 points with 8 triples, 3 rebounds, and then nothing else. No assists, no steals, no blocks. He shot 69% from the field.
Giggity!
And was 3 of 4 from the free throw line. His minutes have been up lately, and over the last 6 games, he is averaging 26.5 minutes a game with 13 points and 3 threes. But of course, that's really skewed by today's performance. But even the game prior against the Magic, he had 13 points with 3 triples. Back on the 5th of March, 12 points with 2 triples. On the 2nd of March, 12 points with 3 threes. He can help in the 3-pointer area, but I don't even look at him really as a 12-team 3-point streamer. He's more of a 14-team 3-point streamer, maybe even 16-teamers. And he got those extra minutes in today's game because of how much of a blowout the game ended up being.
Young Gun of the Night.
On the other side of that blowout is our Young Gun of the Night. It's the Baptist, John Collins, who only needed 25 minutes to put up 27 and 12. He had a 3, he had a steal, he blocked 2 shots, and he shot 65% from the field. Remember at the start of the season where he was getting absolutely no steals and no blocks and everyone was panicking, and it just made no sense that someone could go from getting the sort of steal and block rate that he got last season and that he got in college to getting none of those at all. We've really seen that turn back around for Collins, and you'd be absolutely stunned to know that over the last 2 weeks, He's the 7th ranked player in fantasy, averaging 25 and 13 with 2 blocks a game on 62% shooting those blocks. They're starting to come back up closer to last season's numbers again after a really, really low stretch of time for this season. He is going to be, I feel really confident in saying, a top 50 guy next year. He's already a top 50 guy this season. Maybe I'll be more bold. He's going to be a top 40, top 35 player next season who is really taking on big amounts now if the Hawks win the lottery and get Zion Williamson. Maybe that does impact Collins, but a Collins-Zion 4-5 combination would be something that I think would work, and I think we'd get some value out of that. But he looks like an excellent draft pick. It was an excellent draft pick at the time. It bothered me that he slipped as far as he did. And he's exceeded a lot of what I expected out of John Collins. It was a rough start to the season where he missed that start of the year, but a guy that I was pretty big on as a sleeper type of player who I thought was getting undervalued. We're really seeing his value come to the fore at the real business end of the season. Some big, big numbers coming from John the Baptist Collins, and it's working perfectly for whoever has him on their fantasy team. The dud of the night. I tell a man's not hot. Had a few options, but I'm going to go with Trevor Ariza of the Washington Wizards. They had a pretty comfortable victory over the Magic, but he played only 22 minutes as he struggled. 2 points on 1 of 6 shooting, 3 rebounds, no other numbers for Ariza, who has been really disappointing in Phoenix, but did lift his game when he arrived in Washington. But this game is obviously not a great one for Trev. He's the 81st ranked player this season, but over the last month, outside the top 100, over the last 2 weeks, outside the top 150. The shooting has always been poor from him, but what's the difference here with him over these last 2 weeks versus the season? Well, it's steals. For the season, he's averaging 1.4. Over the last 7 games, 0.3. That's the difference, and that's like a 80 to 90 ranking spot drop, and that's the big difference. And the above average steal numbers for Ariza are what keeps him being a 12-team league guy. I think you still have to hold him because he's historically been a pretty strong steals guy. But that's, again, more just illustrating some of the issues when just solely relying on ranking numbers for a player's overall value. But it is a little bit of an issue here for what Ariza is doing in terms of the recent production, and it's caused him to drop right off. But his other numbers are fairly much on par with the seasonal stuff. It's just that those steal numbers have really, really disappeared. The plus-minus GOATs, Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat. Bam! 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 He had the best net rating, a +95.5 in their big win, while the worst net rating went to Kent Bazemore, a -99.7. It should go without saying that you shouldn't have Bazemore in any 12-team format, and maybe even 14-teamers, as we're seeing a lot more elevated play from the old Fanta Pants, Kevin Huerter. Injury news today, just Reggie Jackson, who sprained his ankle late. He says he's fine. He does have a history of serious ankle problems or ankle injuries. He has suffered a big one last season. So it's something for us to monitor. Ish Smith would be that guy to grab and really look at in all 12-team formats when you're looking for assists. He says it's fine. I think we still might get a game or two missed here for Reggie with this ankle when we see how things pan out after it swells up overnight and how that all looks. Let's go into these games now and break them down across the league. Only the 6 games on for Wednesday are really, really light days, but it's surprising. The Orlando Magic and the Washington Wizards, the first game. The Wizards win 100-90. Nikola Vucevic had 20 and 14. He's just as rock solid as anybody, while Aaron Gordon was battling rib issues, but he played 13 and 9 with 3 threes. And DJ Augustin had a really strong one. 16 points, 4 triples, 7 assists. He's an ideal 12-team streamer, a guy you look at based on schedule and opponents and how your team fits, and he can work, but not someone that everyone has to roster. Johnny Isaac was also pretty strong, 13 points, 3 threes and 9 rebounds, but a lack of defensive numbers. While if you're in a 10-team format, streaming through Evan Fournier's spot is probably better off, and even in 12-teamers, I could see that being a legitimate decision. Terry Ross, just his patented real turd burger here, 7 points on 13 shots, but that means he'll likely have 25 points on 10 shots next game. He does have a real tendency after a bad game to bounce back. We'll see if it holds true. Tom Bryant had been absolutely missing in action for the Wizards, so it stands to reason that he had 21 and 10 with two blocks in 25 minutes. He barely could get over 15 minutes a game before this one. I think we chalk it up to a little bit of fluke that Bryant was able to put up this performance, and I wouldn't be overreacting to that outside of him being a field goal percentage streamer. Brad Beal did hit his thing, 23, 6, and 7, while Jabari Parker's insane streak of hot shooting continued. 19 points on 75% shooting. Now, when it falls off, it's going to fall off, and the value's going to dip away. But for now, while it's happening, then there's value in him for 12-teamers. Punch Bob was terrible, 6 points on 11 shots, 27% shooting, and of course, no defensive numbers from Bobby Portis. Still a hold, and same with Tomas Satoransky, who couldn't hit anything. 2 points on 1 of 8 shooting, but at least he provided some peripherals. 6 rebounds and 7 assists for Satoransky in this one. The next game up is the Brooklyn Nets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder win 108-96. D'Angelo Russell, close to his best game with Spencer Dinwiddie back, 14-4-7 with 3 steals, but the shooting was disappointing. Smoke and Joe Harris had another 3 triples, and Dinwiddie, a big night, 25 points on 39% usage. I was worried how he was going to fit in here with LeVert coming back, but it's been LeVert, the guy that's really copped the biggest hit. So Dinwiddie's a 12-teamer. LeVert isn't. I think you get better value from streaming his spot as much as I like him. 8-6-4 in 19 minutes. Or Eddie Davis, one of the best rebound streams around, 11 rebounds in his 18 minutes. Rowdy Rodions Kurucs had 8-5 with 2 steals and a block. And my man, the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb, he just shows that he is flaky as shit. 8 points in 35 minutes. More of a 14-team league guy as a 3-point specialist, and your big games from him can never really be trusted to be backed up. For the Thunder, Paul George, 25-9, 3 threes, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and shot 50% from the field. That had been worrying him, but got the value back up there. Adams had 13-7 with 2 steals and a block in what was a positive matchup, while Jeremy Grant was solid, but pretty much unspectacular. And Dennis Schroeder, who'd been running a really hot streak, was terrible. 7 points in 29 minutes. Realistically, he is a stream-only sort of a guy for 12-team formats. The next game that we take a look at, we've got the Detroit Pistons. They got absolutely spanked by the Heat, 108-74. Griffin had 13-4 in his 30 minutes. The Duke Wayne Ellington knocked in 3 triples, and Drummond fouled out in only 24 minutes. Yeah, not a lot to really talk about in this game. Langston Galloway still getting way too many minutes. Kennard still played his 29, the Duck. 10 points, 4 assists, 2 triples. Probably more on the stream side for 12-teamers, but the minutes and the production has been decently consistent. A must-roster 14-team league player. For the Heat, again, minutes reduced all over the place. Whiteside only played 20 and had 13 and 11 off the bench. He is going to stick in this bench role. I'm really confident with that. And he still can be a 12-team league guy, while Adebayo really struggled with fouls. 4 fouls for 17 minutes, 10 and 5, but still probably is a 12-team hold. I said we wanted to watch Kelly Olynyk's minutes. Only 21. That's 3 consecutive games with 26 or fewer minutes for Olynyk. 9-3 after last game's 1-point performance. Yes, foul trouble did limit him, but we've seen it with Olynyk time after time after time, especially with Spoelstra in control. He'll give him a run, he'll play well, he'll play 30-plus minutes, and then inexplicably go back to playing mid-20s in minutes. I'd like to give him one more game, but if he plays 25 or 26 minutes in that one, I think we move on. Derek Jones Jr. played 31 minutes. He's realistically just a deeper league player. While we had Justice Winslow have 16-5 in his 26 minutes, it was a struggle for Wade, and Goran Dragic had 10 points in 19 minutes. I look at Dragic as more a 14-team league player. The next game up, another blowout. The Hawks smacked the Grizzlies, 132-111. So minutes reduced all over the place. We got 30 D'Lon Wright minutes, and he provided good value. 10-3-7, 2 steals and 2 blocks. He's not a must-roster guy, but he can produce some value in 12-team formats. Conley had 20 with 7 assists, and we already talked about CJ Miles. Only 20 minutes for Valanciunas, as a lot of the starters got limited. 18 minutes for Justin Holiday, and Avery Bradley only 19 minutes. I'm not thinking that this is an indication that he's back to being the Clippers guy. I get an unnecessary amount of hate for me saying that Avery Bradley is not a good player. Not hate. People say, oh man, why do you hate on him so much? He hasn't been good for 2 years, and he's had a run of 8 good games for the Grizzlies. I'm not thinking that this is a drop scenario here for Avery Bradley, but it is definitely one to watch, and I have thought a lot of his production seemed elevated, unsustainably elevated, so it is one for us to watch here. Ivan Rabb started over Bruno Caboclo, played 25 minutes, and just really is just an 18-team league guy. Bickerstaff has no trust in him, and the minutes and the role will vary pretty aggressively based on a matchup. Joakim Noah is also pretty strong here. 12, 8, and 5, a steal and a block, actually weirdly providing 14-team league value. For the Hawks, only 25 minutes for Trae Young, but 22 and 8 is massive, while old Ginger Minch, Kevin Huerter, 16, 5 and 4, 4 triples, a steal and a block. This is why I've liked this guy so much. Now, he fell off, the minutes disappeared, the usage disappeared, but this is why I like him. He can score, he can do it efficiently, he can rebound, he can get steals, and he can get assists. He's not in that 12-team must-roster situation, but available in 83% of Yahoo leagues. He's a must roster 14 team, 16, and anything deeper than that, and he does have some 12 team value. The Undertaker only scored 6 points in a start, but had 2 steals and 2 blocks, and I think he probably still is a must hold 12 teamer. While the artist, formerly known as Torian Prince, had 15 points in 25 minutes with 3 threes and 3 assists. Again, a real peripheral 12 team adjacent sort of a guy. I still believe in him. I still think we're going to get some good games out of him down the stretch. But I can understand if you want to move on. And Bazemore, as I referenced earlier, missed all 6 of his shots in his 17 minutes. The next game, the Warriors get a victory over the Rockets on the road without Kevin Durant, 106-104. Cousins had by far his best game as for the Warriors, 27-8-7 with 2 steals on 69% shooting.
Giggity!
With Durant out, it does help him. More ball handling, more shots, more usage. So that'll likely come down for him. Curry had 24, 4, and 5 with 2 steals, and Thompson had 30 and 6. And he's on a real hot streak at the moment, Clay. Draymond struggling. He's been an absolute disaster this season. While Andre Iguodala started in place of Durant, and it didn't really do anything to change his production. Very little to talk about with this Warriors rotation. That bench provides absolutely nothing. For the Rockets, Daniel House was signed to that rest of season contract, but he didn't get in the rotation. We know that the Rockets like to use a 9-man rotation. So for House to be a regular player, he's got to supplant Shumpert, Green, Rivers, or Fareed. And you could make the argument that he could be providing more than Shumpert easily, more than Rivers, maybe. Green, maybe. Fareed, probably not. So he's not going to be much of a factor. As for Fareed, it was always going to be a tough matchup. I hope in yesterday's show I said it would be a terrible matchup for him against the Warriors. 3 points in 13 minutes. He is not a 12-team hold, Kenneth Fareed. I think you're all aware of that. Harden had 29, 3, and 10, and Chris Paul had 24, 6, and 3. Strong games from those guys, and Capella was pretty solid. The last game of the day was the Utah Jazz beating the Suns pretty comfortably, 114-97. Jingling Joe had 15, 2, and 6 with 2 steals, while the Don, Donovan Mitchell...
He's Don. He's good.
26 and 5 with 4 triples and didn't get to the line. That tends to happen when Rubio plays. The free throw attempt rate goes down. That's why I keep mentioning if they do go without a point guard next season, Mitchell's value will rise. Gobert was excellent, 18 and 20. While Derek Favors, who had a really lean run, he bounced back, 18, 7 and 7 with a triple one. Fine on a 12-team roster, not a must roster guy. There's a big difference there because he provides value in very specific areas and that might not be what you need to win a matchup. Crowder was okay, 12 points, but it took 12 shots while ravishing Rick Rubio. He returned to action, had 6 points with 4 assists. I think he'll be limited again on Thursday. If you want to drop his roster spot to open it up for streaming, I totally understand doing that. He's struggling through these hip and hamstring issues that have been plaguing him all season. For the Suns, DeAndre Ayton was very, very bad. 2 points on 9 shots. The fact that he only took 9 shots is bad in itself, but only hitting one of them is poor. 9 rebounds, 2 steals and a block, so it provided some peripheral value there. Oubre was strong with his 18 points, and Booker had 27, 4 and 6. Rashawn Holmes, really strong from him, 11 and 5 with 2 steals and a block, but the low minutes is just not enough there for me to rely upon him as a 12-teamer, while Tyler Johnson was pretty good, 15, 4 and 2, and again, much like Derek Favors, but in the small man mold, he can be fine for 12-teamers, but it's not going to be for everybody. Mikal Bridges, I think it's going to really come together for him at some point in the next couple of seasons. Only 2 points, but 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. You can see the framework of a very, very good fantasy guy. For now, he is just a defensive stats type of streamer, while on the flip side, I can't see the framework of a good player in Josh Jackson. He had 9 points in 21 minutes. And you know, shout out to the Suns for D'Anthony Melton not playing at all so that we can get 14 useless minutes of Jamal Crawford. That'll do it for all of Wednesday's action. Let's move in now to talk some DFS for Thursday, but we'll start first by looking at the perfect lineup on DraftKings. Westbrook, CJ Miles, Kevin Huerter, John Collins, Alex Len, Klay Thompson, Tom Bryant, and DeMarcus Cousins for a total of 371.5, and that cost $49,900. And then on FanDuel, Westbrook, Augustin, DeLon, Kevin Huerter, Paul George, CJ Miles, John Collins, Derek Favors, and Alex Len, and that totaled 353.3 and totaled $59,500. All right, let's dig into these games for DFS for Thursday. We're going to be focusing mainly on FanDuel pricing today. The first game is the Oklahoma City Thunder traveling to Indiana to take on the Pacers. The Thunder are on a back-to-back. The Pacers at the moment are 1-point favorites. The total, we've got a good old Richie Beno.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
Will Paul George hit his shots again? Well, he was pretty accurate in doing that on Wednesday, so hopefully that shoulder issue is not bothering him. He was doing the old Lin Jong in the 2016 VFL Grand Final in strapping up different shoulders today. If you don't understand that reference, you can tweet it at me and I'll explain it to you, but had a different shoulder strap than the one that had caused him to miss some time a week or so ago. Now, Markieff Morris missed Wednesday's game. At this stage, we don't know if he is going to play, but we just saw his minutes basically just all taken by Deontay Burton in Wednesday's game. At point guard, Corey Joseph's at 4,100. I see no interest in him really. While Darren Collison at 7,100. I like the floor. I think there's some upside in Dazza. I think he's a strong option. While Russie Westbrook, 11,300. Now, the Pacers have been one of the best teams at shutting down opposition point guards all season. Plus, this is a back-to-back for Westbrook. So, that's two things that make you look at wanting to fade him. But the last three times against Indiana, he has dropped 61 on average on FanDuel. So I think there is something to see here with Westbrook, but with two factors going against him in terms of fade, maybe spending that money in other areas on some other higher price players might be a better way to go. But that is worth mentioning, I think, there for Westbrook. At shooting guard, Wes Matthews is at 46, only for tournaments and not really that interesting. While Dennis Schroeder was piss poor on Wednesday, he's at 5,000. I guess there is some value in him if they do decide to limit some minutes for other players. But only 11 points on Wednesday for Schroeder against the Nets makes him more of a tournament sort of a player. At small forward, George at 10,000, happy to get back on him. 50 points against the Nets today, no worries with looking at him. While Bojan Bogdanovic, love what Bojan's been doing, a rock solid cash floor, 6,700. He's giving us 30 a night, 35 to 40 sort of upside, which is pretty strong, but it's more cash than tournaments. For the power forwards, Jeremy Grant at 5,500, a really, really good cash option, limited tournament upside, but good for cash, while Thad Young at 6,800. I think that's probably a little bit overpriced for Thad. Sabonis is struggling at 6,200, and Markieff Morris is not someone we're interested in really at all. At center, I do like Miles Turner here quite a bit. Recently, the Thunder have been allowing opposition teams to put up some decent numbers against them, opposition centers at least, and Turner's coming off some strong games, averaging almost 40 over the last five. I like his value here, while Steve Adams at 6,700 just hasn't really been putting up numbers anywhere close to that, and I don't really expect a turnaround on a back-to-back for big old Steve-O. On DraftKings, I like Miles Turner. I like Daz Collison quite a bit. Paul George and Westbrook, I think, also come in pretty strongly. And if you're looking at a GPP turnaround guy, maybe it is Sabonis, who is all the way down to 5,400 on DraftKings. There could be some value in big old DeMontis. The next game we look at, the Cavs taking on the Magic in Orlando. Orlando on a back-to-back. They lost on Wednesday. They really need this victory. The Cavs, who have been quite feisty in some of their games, could provide a bit of a challenge. And we know Orlando has had some problems going up against worse teams than what you'd expect them to lose to. So this is something worth looking at. The Cavs are going to be without Tristan Thompson, Matty Dellavedova, and Larry Nance. But Kevin Love is back after his rest.
I'm not tired.
That means there's a ton of value opening up in that front court, though, with all those injuries in Cleveland. At point guard, DJ Augustin was great for Orlando on Wednesday. He had 28 points, but at 4,600, I'm not sure that his reliability is high, but this is a positive matchup for Deej. So I think if you're going to use him, this would be one of the times to do it. The Padawan Colin Sexton, love what he's been doing recently, putting up some strong numbers, averaging 29 over the last five, but the salary is all the way up to 5,800, which takes away a lot of the upside value for him. You're not saying it's a terrible option. I think there is value here, but that salary has, I guess, just knocked the top off it a little bit. Brandon Knight has been playing well at 4,300 with Matty Dellavedova out. I actually like him for cash. He's getting that value relatively consistently with Dellavedova sidelined. At shooting guard, Jordan Clarkson at 5,200, 30 minutes in each of the last two games. So he is a play with Dellavedova out. We've seen his minutes rise up as well and getting some extra shots. So I think Jordan Clarkson at that sort of a salary, 5,200, is someone that we should be paying some level of attention to here as well. Other shooting guards on the board, you got Fournier at 57, who realistically is just a tournament guy, while Terry Ross was terrible in Wednesday's action at 5,900. We know that he normally follows up a terrible game with a big one, so that would be a cue to get involved in the Terry Ross game. Johnny Isaacs at 6,500, I think that's too expensive. Chetty Osman, 6,300. I think that probably is a little bit too expensive as well. He's been relatively inconsistent. And then on to the power forwards. Aaron Gordon's at 7,300. I actually think there's a good floor value here in Gordo against this Cavs team. Kevin Love at 8,700. That's pushing probably a little bit too high against a team in the Magic who have been pretty good at limiting opposition power forward outputs. At center, I love Ante Zizic here. 4,400. 34 minutes from him last game was good. Didn't really provide all the value we wanted, but it is a decently strong matchup going up against Vucevic, and I think he could be a 25 or 26 point guy. So I love Zizic here. As for Vuce at 10,500, he's 45 almost guaranteed, and it's a really, really positive matchup for Vuce. So I do think that we should be looking at him. And I think feeling pretty strong about him being a good option. So I think that Vuce is someone that we should be, feeling pretty strongly about as an option in this matchup. If we flip this over now to DraftKings, I like Zizic, I like Sexton, I like Vucevic, I like Clarkson as well. DJ Augustin comes in pretty good. Chetty is a better option there at 57. This is a decently stackable game that we'll find out more about, I guess, when they do release the spreads and totals for this action. The next game up we're looking at is the Sacramento Kings and the Boston Celtics. No spread or total at this point. The Kings are probably out of playoff contention, but there is a few injury concerns on the Boston side here. Jason Tatum missed last game. He's been upgraded to probable, while Marcus Smart and Daniel Tice are both questionable. On the Kings side of things, Marvin Bagley has been increased, has his role upgraded to questionable, so that's going to put a big dampener on guys like Willie Cauley-Stein and, of course, Nemanja Bjelica, who's been putting up big minutes as of late. At point guard, Kyrie's at 9,900. It's a really positive matchup for Kyrie. I think that's probably a little bit too high of a salary, but it's not a dreadful one. Well, 7,800 for De'Aaron Foxy Fox. The point guards have been going off against Boston for most of this. Sorry, not going off. The opposite, have been really restricted against Boston. But Fox has put up some good numbers of late. I don't think he's a terrible option here. And then on the other side of things, Rozier at 6,500. 32 points in 26 minutes last game for Rozier. Getting those minutes here will be a stretch unless Smart is out. And if Smart is out, I think he could come into play in a positive matchup. But that salary for Rozier feels too high. Bud Hield's at 6,800. I'm not really interested in that. While Bogdan Bogdanovic at 5,300, realistically just a tournament guy with Bagley's return potentially here. Jaylen Brown at 5,000. If Smart is out, I would love Jaylen. I think that would be really strong for cash. At small forward, Gordie Hayward's at 4,900, not even averaging 20 points over the last three, so that's going to be a no from me. While the pencil, Harrison Barnes at 5,600. He's been around that mark. Now, I think if Bagley returns, it takes a little bit of value away from Barnesy, but at 5,600, I do think that you can look at him, especially in cash. At power, or Bill, let's get to him, 5,200. If Bagley is out, I think there is some value in him. If Bagley plays, I'd be fading that pretty aggressively. For the power forwards, Tatum's at 6,700. That's going to be a no from me. Marcus Morris also a strong fade, while Bagley in his first game back is too high. 6,500, I'm not interested in it, while Harry Giles at 4,400, also probably a little bit too high for his projected level of output. Al Horford, 6,900.
Giggity.
look, he's done well against Sacramento in the past. It's a positive matchup for Horf. I think he's not a bad cash play. That's not a terrible price. Well, Cauley Stein at 5,600. He's been at that number and exceeding that value relatively consistently. If Bagley is out, I think he will become a good cash play. If Bagley is in, I'd probably find a better center to be using. On DraftKings, Kyrie's at 8,900. I much prefer him over there. Tatum at 57 also has a bit more value, and Horford at 63 also pretty strong. I love Jaylen, of course, if Marcus Smart happens to be sidelined. The next game up, we're looking at the Lakers and the Raptors. The Raptors are 10-point favorites, and the total is 231. We know Serge Ibaka is out, so big minutes are going to be coming Marcus Gasol's way. Plus, it's a great matchup. Centers have put the Lakers to the sword relatively often this season. The Lakers are dealing with questionable statuses for Lance Stephenson, Tyson Chandler, and Josh the Hitman Hart, so lots can change here. I'm not convinced that Chandler's even going to be in the rotation, even if he plays, but the Hart-Stevenson stuff is really interesting. Kyle Lowry and Danny Green are both not on the injury report, so they should be ready to go for the Raptors. 8,300 for Lowry as a point guard. Great matchup for him. The only worry you have here is if it's a blowout, but I do think there is something in him at that sort of a salary, while Rajon Rondo is all the way up to 7,200. And I don't hate that. He's been giving us mid-30s in numbers with no other point guard really on the roster. He should be in play. Dan Green's not going to do it for me. The hitman Josh Hart also really struggling. While Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 4,000, he had 38 points last game. Now, the game before that, I think he had about 2 points. So he's really, really up and down. But if we hear that he is starting again or that Hart or Stevenson are out, I think that he would become a tournament player, while Reggie Bullock is doing nothing and I have no interest in utilizing him. At small forward, the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
9,700 for Kawhi. It's a positive matchup for him, but you do worry a little bit about if the game is a blowout and where his minutes would go. So I'd probably look at him more for tournaments. LeBron at 11,000.
LeBron James.
Like what he's doing, he's giving us 50 a night, so that's relatively strong as well. Stevenson, Powell, no. At power forward, Pascal Siakam at 7,800. Hasn't really been anywhere near that number of late, but with the absence of Ibaka, he's going to have to play some center minutes. That should bump his overall playing time up, so I like him here. While the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma at 6,500, it's a bit of a jump in price. It's a bad matchup for Kuz. I think he's more of a tournament guy because it is so reliant upon his shots going in because he just does nothing in those other areas. So more tournaments than anything. Marcus Gasol at 6,500. He's been brutally bad as a member of the Raptors, but this should be pushing him into mid-30s in minutes. And at 6,500, you're looking at maybe we're getting Grizzlies Gasol production on a non-Grizzlies price. So I do like Gasol here quite a bit. While JaVale McGee played 33 minutes last game and had 34 points. Now, I'm in no way trusting McGee to play 30-plus minutes, but at 4,800, he is an excellent tournament option. While flaming Mo Wagner. With Kuzma back last game, he played 10 minutes and had 8 points. He's probably a little bit risky of a guy, but maybe, just maybe, as a GPP guy. And by just maybe, I mean no. On DraftKings, Lowry, Gasol, LeBron, I like all of those guys. Kuzma probably even worse of an option on DraftKings. I think Kawhi and Siakam are strong, but still more of that tournament situation for Kawhi Leonard over on DraftKings. The next game we look at, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Utah Jazz. The Jazz are on a back-to-back, no spread or total. The Wolves are dealing with injuries. Towns is probable, while Andy Wiggins, Jeff Teague, and Derrick Rose.
My name is Jeff.
They are all questionable. It's also a back-to-back for the Jazz. So Rubio, who came back from that hip issue, will he play in this back-to-back? He's on a minutes limit on Wednesday, but there is a chance that he does sit this one out. So that's something to pay attention to. For the point guards, it's all going to be about what happens with Rose and Teague, because if they're out, then Tyus Jones at 4,400 becomes an absolute cash lock player. Even if Rose or Teague plays, I wouldn't want to use either of those guys. And in fact, it probably rules all three of those players out as options. Rubio, I think the minutes are going to be limited for him if he does play. At shooting guard, the Don Donovan Mitchell, 9,800.
He's Don. He's good.
He's been really consistent of late. I think that his case has helped if Rubio's out, but I do think on this limited slate, he is worth looking at. And then you got Wiggins at 6,300. That's too high of a price for a guy who sucks majority of the time. Of course, if he is out, Kata Bates-Diop at 4,200 becomes a cash lock. for the small forward, Jinglin Joe and Jay Crowder. Crowder's been putting up some strong numbers and he's cheaper than Ingles. Not super interested in either of them, but if I'd look at one of them, it'd be Crowder for cash, and that's probably where we sit. While O'Neal, he gets the boost if Rubio does happen to sit on this back-to-back. At power forward, Derek Favors at 6,400 is too expensive, while Šarić has just been absolute trash of late, and Gibson at 4,500 is not getting it done. Gobert at 96 and Towns at 11.7. Both of these guys have value. I would favor Gobert over Towns because I'm saving $2,000, but I like the spot for both of these players here. On DraftKings, Mitchell and Gobert are really strong, even though it is a back-to-back. Towns at 10.2, absolutely love that. Crowder at 5.1 comes in relatively strong as well. And of course, the Bates Diop and Tyus Jones scenarios, if those injuries fall the way that they would need to, they provide a ton of value. The last game of the day, the Dallas Mavericks and the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are 11-point favorites. The total is 219.5. Luka Doncic was terrible last game for Dallas. I'd find it hard that he would be worse than that in this one. Trey Lyles and Torrey Craig are both questionable. I imagine even if they're both healthy, only one of those guys will play and take that ninth man in the rotation spot. At point guard, the Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, is all the way up to 7,700. It's a good matchup for him, but I think that price is too high. The Burner, Jalen Brunson, all the way up to 5,900 as well. But with how he's playing, he's pretty hard to ignore. Now, that salary gives me level of pause. The quality of opponent gives me level of pause. But with what he's doing, I don't think it's a disastrous pick, even for cash. Monty Morris at shooting guard. I love this for Morris. 3,900. He's kicked Isaiah Thomas out of the rotation. He's played over 25 minutes in the last two games. He's putting up big numbers again at sub 4,000. I love Monty Morris. Malik Beasley also sub 4,000, but just not doing enough to get me interested. While Doncic is at 9,600, I think the knee's still worrying him, and that's enough for me to fade him. Timmy Hardaway came off the bench last game, did nothing, so I'm not going to invest in that. Gary Harris, Finney Smith, Will Barton, I see no real value in any of those players here either. At power forward, Maxi Kleber, 30 minutes in two consecutive games. One good game, one terrible one. He's at 3,900 and the matchup is a relatively positive one. I like him as a tournament guy only. Dirk, no. Millsap at 6,900.
Giggity!
But I think that's probably a little bit too high for Paulie. While 6,800 for Dwight Powell, I'd feel a little bit better about using Powell than Millsap, but even so, I think both of those guys are overpriced. Nikola Jokic at 10,200 hasn't really been at that level. We hear this talk of Malone wanting to give him more touches, and it sort of happened last game, but then he got into foul trouble. I do think that he is a really strong tournament guy, whereas his backup, Mason Plumlee, is the opposite. No tournament upside, but he's getting 24, 25 a night, and at 4,700, I don't actually mind that as a cash play. The DraftKings side of things, Monty Morris looks great. I think Finney Smith on DraftKings at 34 has some cash value. The Blue Arrow at 64, significantly superior on DraftKings. While Doncic at 84, yeah, maybe, but more tournaments. Jokic at 10,000, still GPPs. And Gaz Harris all the way down at 3,900.
Nice, Gary!
With how he's playing, you could look at that more as tournaments, but even in the struggles, he's still getting around 20 a night, which is not far off where you need Gazza to be at that sort of a salary. Let's go through some studs and values on DraftKings. My stud is the Don Mitchell, and my value is Ante Zizic. Hey, you're going to see Zizic's name a fair bit here. On FanDuel, the stud is Paul George, and the value is Ante Zizic. On Yahoo, my stud is Don Mitchell, and my value is Ante Zizic, and on DraftStars, my stud is Nikola Jokic, and my value is Ante Zizic. Guys, make sure you are checking out the rest of the podcast across the Locked On Podcast Network. When you're stuck in traffic, the best way of getting a show is just telling your smart device to play the podcast Locked On and then insert your favorite team name there. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. And if you're listening to this, subscribe it and give a 5-star rating or review. And on YouTube, smash that subscribe button, give me a thumbs up, and of course, leave a comment down below. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Devontae Graham.